Hello everyone, Andy here, and here's what you can look forward to in today's episode.
In today's episode, I was joined by Seahawks fan Josh Edwards and Rams fan Sam Andrews as we preview the NFC Championship game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. Josh discusses his concerns for his Seahawks going into this game.
If Darnold has this brain fart against the Rams and starts throwing picks and silly throws, that is going to be an issue for me.
Sam discusses Matt Stafford's loss of form in recent weeks.
I think probably what hasn't helped since that Seahawks game, especially for Matt Stafford, and I think why it sort of played into his bad form, was we lost Kevin Dotson.
And I discuss what could be the key for the Rams as all three of us predict the winners of this game.
With the ever-growing nature of teams going foot and fourth down, you've shown in these games, you know, that, particularly that game against the Bears, that you can make the important stops.
Hope you will enjoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Across the Pod NFL podcast. We are just days away from the NFC Championship game starting, and I am, as ever, your host, Andy Davis, here to preview that game with a fan of each team. Now, with me, our first guest is in the dark and blue and green corner. Back on the show today is our Seahawks fan, Josh Edwards from 12 Talk. Josh, first of all, great to have you back on.
Great to be back on, mate. Thank you very much for inviting me back. It was, like I said on the last time I appeared, I wasn't sure if it would be us or if it would be Paul from the 49ers faithful, but I think after 13 seconds of that game, it was definitely going to be me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll get on to that game in a sec, but I think, you know, you may be creating a bit of across the pod history, Josh. I don't think anyone's had back-to-back appearances on the show. I don't think you've had back-to-back episodes, or maybe two, basically back-to-back weeks with the same guest on. So you're kind of in across the pod history here. You'll be on the across the pod Hall of Fame before we know it.
Excellent. That's what I like. Get a plaque up on the wall for me, just like those people that have eaten two dozen burgers in a single sitting. I'm all about that, mate.
That is tough going. I remember we went to Spain on holiday. Must have been about 3 years ago, me and my friends. And I don't know whether you ever heard of the game Odds, where you say odds on doing this, and then if you get the same number, you have to do whatever they say it is. Mm-hmm. And my mate got bared to try and eat 10 cheeseburgers from McDonald's and got, I think, about 9.5 burgers way through. I'm surprised he got me put off burgers after hearing that.
Did you have to roll him out of the Mackey's after that? That's like, yeah, you're done for the night.
Oh, yeah, no, it was quite the sight, I must admit. Well, let's head on to the slightly lighter shade of blue corner and yellow corner. Back on the show today is our Rams fan, Sam Andrews, who you would have seen on our wildcard Ram preview. Sam, good to have you on. You're on mute.
Thank you for having me back on. Sorry, I put it on mute just in case the child decides to cry in the background.
That is the beauty of being a father and also podding in the same tonight. I mean, I haven't got any kids yet, so I haven't got to worry about that. I do worry about if I have kids one day, how that will affect the pod, whether you will hear some baby noises during the episode.
Put them to bed early and schedule your pod for after their bedtime. That's what I do, mate.
Yeah, and normally I do. Normally he's asleep by now, but it's the one night he's refusing to go to sleep. My wife's not here either, so she can't even deal with it.
Oh,
so.
Good.
Oh, well, have either of you managed to... I don't know whether it's too early to tell yet, whether you've converted your kids to be Rams and Seahawks fans, respectively. Have you managed to maybe dress them up in, you know, Seahawks outfits, or, you know, put Seahawks posters on the wall or Rams posters on the wall? Have you managed to... is that on your plans to get your kids to support your NFL teams? Or are you going to be quite liberal and just... let them choose their own fate?
Oh, no. There's still being liberal in this house. No, my daughter has got a personalised Wolf Grey Seahawks jersey with Ivy Vi 30 on the back that she's had for 2 years now. I've just been waiting for her to grow into it. So she's a Seahawks fan. She knows who the Seahawks are. She talks to me about the podcast. She talks to me about the Seahawks whenever I wear something Seahawks related. So she's a 12 in the making.
How about you, Sam?
I mean, Mine's only just under 2 years, so he still isn't quite understanding the concept of supporting teams yet. But I got a gift off someone that was Rams based, so he's had some Rams like baby grow things on and stuff. So yeah, he's going to be a Rams fan. We need as many as we can get. So
yeah, because there's not an LA.
No.
Yeah, I kind of think that for me, I feel like if I had a kid one day, Liverpool would be, without even like a shadow of a doubt, I mean, you know, that would be not even a choice in the matter, not just because it's, you know, my dad supports them, I support them, but also my girlfriend's dad's got a season ticket there. So it feels like, yeah, and also she's from that area as well. So it's that I feel like would be no choice. But I feel like I might allow my future kid to like let that fake, because I don't think I should force support the Dolphins on anyone. So I don't think
that's child abuse.
Exactly.
Give them a Dolphins jersey with a child line number just on the card as well.
Oh, I mean, by the time they're born, they might be good. So it might be all, you know, there might be some fashionable singer who's dating a Dolphins player. I don't know. There might be a Taylor Swift 2.0 in 10 years' time. You never know. So, you know, you can hope. But yeah, I kind of think I don't think I can force two teams on them, mate. But maybe they might support them anyway. Maybe they might just like the colours, or take them on holiday when they're younger, which got me to be a fan. Maybe that's the route. Take them on a holiday there when you're younger and let them, without knowing it, be forced into supporting them by your choice of holiday.
But again, then you're forcing them into a lifetime's worth of pain.
Oh, I know.
You want the best for your children, not the worst.
It's like, character.
Liverpool, fine.
Yeah, I mean, fair, my childhood was pretty average as a fan. I saw one trophy from the age of like 10 until like 19. It was a... I know as a Derby fan, you're probably thinking that sounds pretty good, one trophy in 9 years, Sam. But yeah, no, it's... Well, let's get on to the game itself. We've got the number one seed in the NFC, the Seahawks, who did get through after beating the Niners in the divisional round. And they take on the Rams, who beat the Bears in a phenomenal game on wildcard round. Rams are the fifth seed, the only wildcard team left in the playoffs, as they hope for a return to the Super Bowl. Both teams are hoping for an appearance in their own team's backyard, which is a kind of an incentive for both teams to get the job done. Josh, firstly for you, before we get onto the game details, where are you watching the game on Sunday?
I'll be watching it at home. I'll be watching on the big TV with the members of our Discord, as we do with most games. We have a watch party where it's like I said on the last pod, it's like being in a pub with all your mates, talking on the Discord whilst watching the game, and it's such good fun. So I'll be doing that with my co-host Mitch and multiple members of our Discord, and there'll always be one or two that are a couple of seconds ahead, depending on if you're streaming it, if it's on Sky, if it's on DAZN, or if you're based in Canada or the US or wherever else. So it's a good time to do that,
and no need to spend £7 on a beer.
Although I'm not opposed to doing that. I go to at least two of the London games every year. So I'm quite used to it. And I'm quite close to London anyway. I worked in the city, so £7 a beer isn't a shock to me. It's a shock to me when I go back up north and they go, oh, that's £1, that's like £1.90. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I remember actually, back when I did drink, I went to a pub in London once. It cost me £3.90 for a pint of beer, like in London, not in some random small town somewhere in London, you know, where everything's notoriously expensive. I just couldn't believe I found one pub.
Some of them are really reasonably priced. Mm. They're the ones that you always see the locals in. So you're going for a pint and go, you're not welcome here.
To be fair,
you have to go and pay £7 or £8 for a pint somewhere else.
Yeah, it's fair. Aki did feel quite local. Thankfully, I was with two friends who were local. So that would be a bit easier to blend in. But, you know, that was an interesting pub experience. Sam, for you, where are you watching the game? Home as well? Or are you out and about watching it somewhere?
Well, I was going to go down to my mates, who's a Seahawks fan, and go and watch it with him. But given the fact that it's on a Sunday at 11:30 and I'll have work the next day, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go down. But if not, I'm sure I'll end up texting him pretty much throughout the whole game. I'm sure we'll be picking out all of the...
If you're going to be awake anyway, just go to his house if you're going to text him all the way through. You can just drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's more the fact that I'll have work, but it's whether I can.
But you're going to have work anyway if you're going to be watching and texting him all game.
True, but I'll be at home working rather than. I could always not go to sleep and just drive straight home and then sleep there, but we'll see. I haven't made the decision yet.
Well, let's head on to the game, and this game will not be having a backup quarterback, unlike the other game in the NFL this weekend. It's really exciting for me because not only is it division rivalry, not only is it the two best teams left in the sort of whole playoffs, which does make the prospect of the Super Bowl a bit underwhelming as a neutral. I think we're going to get whoever wins this game. I think personally going to win the Super Bowl. I don't believe either the Patriots or Broncos have got enough. I think if Bo Nix was healthy, Broncos might have done something, but I just don't back either team to do something against the Rams or Seahawks. So for me, this game is obviously there's no guarantees and there's shocks in the NFL. We've seen teams win Super Bowls against the odds, like the Eagles and the Giants and the Eli Manning. But this game feels like it's one where it felt like last week you were watching Texans Patriots, you thought, okay, that game is going to be the one to decide who makes it in. And I think that has been the that's what it felt like when you're watching Patriots Texans. You're basically seeing who's going to win the AFC. And this game, for me, you guys might think differently. I think this game is one that will decide who wins the Super Bowl. But either way, it's an exciting prospect. Josh, I mean, first of all, that Niners game, that Seahawks defense against the Niners. I mean, what a start to that game. 13 seconds in. Literally, I forgot the guy's name, but he's...
Shahid.
That's the one, yeah. The only player this season to have multiple kickoff and punt returns in the season. And that sort of set the tempo for the entire game. Just how impressed were you with the Seahawks defense performance against the Niners? And how confident are you that this Seahawks defense can once again cause problems, but this time to offense for the Rams?
First of all, I want to give some props to a 49ers player. And I'm going to caveat this with my defensive performance. So all season, we've prided ourselves in getting pressure with four. We're one of the lowest blitz rate teams in the NFL because Mike McDonald's worked out a scheme where we can pressure with four and get home to the quarterback. We were doing that a lot against the 49ers. And I think we only had two sacks, was it maybe? Let's double check. Two sacks on the whole game on Brock Purdy. But he was staring down the barrel of the gun pretty much every single drop back, but his escapability in that game was fantastic. The same can't be said for Matt Stafford. And this is where I think it's going to get dialed up by Mike McDonald. I think the game against the 49ers, our defense was just lights out. We didn't let anything get past us. There was pressure. We didn't let Christian McCaffrey start to get his wheels going. We didn't let the passing game get going. We were all over them, just completely engulfed them. And that just allowed our offense to just work surgically on what is, and I know they say it a lot, we were depleted, we were injured. Well, it's a contact sport. Welcome to it. People get injured. It doesn't help that you set up your practice field right next to a power plant, you know, if you believe that rumor. But I think it's indicative of but the way the whole game went from those first 13 seconds, no one expected that. But all three phases, we don't just want to talk about the defense, the special teams were fantastic. You know, offensively, the ball was humming. I've been on Ken Walker's back all season on our podcast because I don't think he's been doing enough. He is so... His top performances are so sporadic. And all I wanted from him was consistency, whereas that's what we got from Charbonnet, who's now out for the rest of the season and going into next season. But Ken Walker dialed it up, and he became the focal point of our offense, which is what they said they were going to do at the start of the season. Strong defense, focus on the run game. And I've said all I want them to do is manage the clock, focus on the run game, short and intermediate routes. And we did that against the 49ers, and that's what happened. So... yeah, I was very impressed. We all, I think we were all pretty much gobsmacked. There were a few moments of silence in our Discord whilst we were watching it. So very impressed, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, I mean, on the Rams, I mean, we saw that the Rams had a kind of a shock loss to the Falcons week 17, and then week 18, we saw things back to normal. You got the win against the Cardinals. Stafford had 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. Everything was clicking, and the same thing applies for the first half of the game against the Panthers. And Stafford got a bit of a knock in one play, and ever since then, I don't think he's been the same. I think the hand seemed damaged against the Panthers, and you know, he just about squeezed through that game. And then divisional round, obviously the weather was probably a contributing factor, but he just hasn't seemed right since he had that knock to his hand in the Panthers game. How worried are you about Stafford going into this game? Now, he wasn't that great against the Bears, although you know, got the job done, of course. But does that worry you against a defense that, you know, away from home as well, and Lumen Field is, you know, one tough place to go, even when they're not playing very well, you know. But now, you know, they're number one seed. They got, for me, the best team left in the playoffs. How much does that worry Stafford's form going into this game after what we've seen the last game and a half for the Rams?
To be honest, it doesn't worry me in the slightest, because Stafford is Stafford. It, you know, he can have a couple of bad games, but he can also all of a sudden just produce an absolute worldie of a performance. I think he's now, he's either joint fifth or fifth alone in game-winning drives. He produced a game, a game-winning drive in a sense in that Bears game. You know, he's obviously going to make, you know, he's going to have, he is running on a little bit of bad form, but he's also still winning those games. So to me, I'm never worried about Matt Stafford's form in the overall context of football. And I think, you know, he's going up against a team which he's already played twice this year, who we've already, you know, we're pretty much neck and neck on points scored, on yards, yards within the game. I think there's 1 yard in it, and there's 1 point in it across both. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's not the problem. The big problem that I was going to have, what I was worried about going in, especially going into watching that San Fran game, was the running game that the Seattle have. Now, obviously, I think losing Charbonnet, I think, is huge, because he offers something different, which Kenneth Walker doesn't offer. And I think that the way that we tend to manage the run, especially against Kenneth Walker, I know he had a few breakout runs in the last game, we tend to manage his situation a lot better than we do Charbonnet. And he was the more concerning one of the two for me. So for him to be out, I think, is huge in terms of our game. But I think from the other side of it is, I think the biggest advantage for us is the fact that we seem to have, I know obviously even though, you know, we won the last game, we seem to have Sam Darnold's number. It's the one thing that the Rams have done in the last three games is we've managed to put enough pressure on him to cause huge problems for that offense as a whole. And I think, you know, if we can continue on that, if we can stop the run, because I think the one thing that we found, obviously, I know that there was the special teams. I mean, that's an easy one to do. Just don't let Shaheed run it. That's all you've got to do. Kick it in the end zone. Start off with. Don't worry about, you know, whenever there's a chance, just make sure you either kick it really high so he has to make the call, or kick it out of bounds, because that's the only way you're going to stop that. And I think it's the best thing to do. We already know we can stop the run game. And we, for us to be like we've seen in the last two games, we've got to force Darnold to take the game to us. And that's where I think he struggles individually. And that's I think, where we could win the game. But, everyone knows the Seahawks defense has been the best this year, hands down, you know. I think it's just, you know, probably the best thing for us is the fact that we have beaten them, and two, we've taken them right to the very edge and still put up 37 points against them. So it's not like we can't do it. We just need to stick with our game plan. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for us in the last game against the Seahawks was the fact that we won, to a certain degree, the Seahawks didn't win that game. We made massive mistakes at key points in the game, which allowed the Seahawks back into the game for them to go on and win it. And I think that was, you know, allowing Shaheed to get the touchdown, you know, poor defensive plays, I think were the key in that game. So as long as we can sort of limit that, I think we stand a better chance. But to be honest, I agree with you, Andy, in that I see an NFC West team winning the Super Bowl this year. I think, and it doesn't matter whether it's the Seahawks or whether it's us. It'll still be sweet to be able to say one of us has done it at Levi Stadium. That's the only thing I care about.
Yeah. I just want someone wins it at the 49ers home field. I mean, we've both got preferences as to who, but I'm completely with you. Just to piggyback on what you said there about like trying to keep a cleaner game, I completely agree with you. I think against you guys, when Darnold gets past sort of the 5-step drop, the pressure starts to come off the edge. I don't know. Is Jared Verse back for you?
Jared Verse, yeah, he played the last game. We've got everyone available. So
see, and I rate Jared Verse. I said this when we did our sort of pre-draft stuff. I really wanted him, and I think he's a fantastic edge player. And I think that's where the pressure's going to come. If he has to go past a 5-step drop where he has to try and get himself too far back in the pocket, that's where the pressure's going to come. But then you were talking about trying to keep it clean. First game against you guys was 21-19, and Darnold had 4 interceptions. One less interception, and it could be a completely different game.
Yeah.
I think that's always the key between our two franchises when we play, is who plays the cleanest game with the best fundamentals.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping now that we have started to ramp up our fundamentals. Andy said that Stafford's not been the same since that sort of Cardinals game. I don't think he's been the same since the Seahawks game.
A lot of people have said that.
It for me as well, I'm, as a spinal cord injury sufferer, I'm very, very wary of the fact that Matt Stafford's neck, his spinal cord, is basically held on with, like, dental floss. There was a chance he wasn't going to come back, but he's been cleared. He's going to be so wary about that. And every time he's out injured and they're saying it's something else, I'm like, if he's had a stinger to the head, he'll be on a full review. MRIs, the lot. And that always worries me about him. He's a great QB. Don't want him to get injured like that. But I always think there's something in that as well.
I mean, it's. I think the thing is that a lot of people are always going to lean on that, back to that spinal injury. And I know it's a very important, you know, dangerous injury to get. But I think that probably the thing that's probably been the most important thing is the fact we've kept him upright. Majority, I think he's had one of the lowest sack rates this season. And I think probably what hasn't helped since that Seahawks game, especially for Matt Stafford, and I think why it sort of played into his bad form, was we lost Kevin Dotson. Mm-hmm. And he is so important to that O-line. And I think, although there was moments in that Bears game where he didn't look great, he wasn't throwing the ball well, when he needed to, Kevin Dotson was the guy who was there helping. I mean, you know, I think the Bears made a few silly calls on that last drive, which I think helped us, you know, bringing the blitz. Why they did that, yeah. I have no idea. We'll come on to that game. But I think, you know, having Kevin Dotson back will allow, I think not only allows us to build a run game, because again, I think it's one of my biggest gripes with Sean McVay, that he seems to just forget that we have two very, very good runners of the ball. And starts trying to just say, Stafford, right, you throw it. And it's like, that's where we start seeing the repetitive three and outs, because you can't develop a passing game without the run game, as we've seen in our games multiple times. So I think if we can get Corum and Williams running the ball, you know, even if it's just 5-yard gains, that'll give Stafford a bit more sort of expressive ability to be able to go and make those, you know, those plays. And I think probably one of the things, the other thing that I think I've been really frustrated with McVay this last few, probably since the Seahawks game, is the the, I don't want to say this, it's not really scared, but the avoidance of using the 13 personnel, which has been key to our offense for the majority of this year. So that'd be one thing I'd like us to get back to. But in terms of Stafford, I think it's just a case of, you know, he'll be fine. He just, it's whatever the hand injury is, I think it's a sprained index finger. It's always going to cause issues with his passing. But I think that the reason why I think it's looked so bad is because we've not used the run game to help him, to get him, because it is a lot different trying to throw, you know, 10-yard passes than it is just trying to throw 5 or 6-yard passes. So I think that's going to be the difference if we can start going back to fundamentals and building on the run game. You know, the Seahawks rush defense is very good, so we'll have to find ways around it. But, you know, the Bears rush defense was very good against us, and we still managed to find ways around it. So it's just about playing the numbers and hopefully winning the line, winning the trenches, because, as always, the trenches is inevitably the most important part of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned numbers as well. I mean, Josh, I mean, Sam talked about Darnold just then, and he's talked about the Rams being his kryptonite. And you look about, you know, you mentioned the first game of the two where he had, you know, 4 interceptions, 0 touchdowns. You think about the second game as well, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. And even going back further on than this, in the postseason last year, in the wild card round, we all saw Darnold probably half his salary for the year by those two performances. So I think, you know, that could be a key. And I think as well, one thing that I think the Rams have had recently, which I think will stand them in good stead for both games if they advance, is they've been involved in games where they've been sort of behind. I think Darnold, I mean, I think all he has to do is just be fine. I don't think he needs to be throwing 400 yards in a game, throwing 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. I think what we saw in the Niners game was we had less than 200 yards, only 1 touchdown, but he didn't need to because they're so good elsewhere. And he only had 5 incomplete passes the entire game. So I think for Darnold, I think all he has to do is just be fine. Don't take any risks. And I think it's to an extent, don't take any risks. But do you worry about that at all in terms of, yes, we've seen Darnold this year. We've seen him, you know, come back against the Rams early in the season, which I think, you know, could be a turning point in his career. And I realise that we might be, you know, going too far back in time and maybe things have changed since. But, you know, I still think in my head about the game against the Rams and the game against the Lions. I still think about Darnold's famous quote years ago, he's seen ghosts. I still don't know if I trust Darnold in this moment. Now, he's proved me wrong so far, number one overall seed, winning the division in the process, and also he was absolutely fine in the game against the Niners. But is that at all in your head, the fact that he has had these games, particularly against the Rams in recent years, where he has struggled?
No. The game in the playoffs last year, he was behind a O-line made out of rice paper. People that are literally dragged in off a practice squad. So he was under so much duress that he couldn't do anything. The start of the season, he was in a new offensive scheme where he was having to get used to what they required of him. He was gunslinging it a bit too much. As we got past the bye and Kubiak actually realised what weapons he had and how best to work, we've seen a steady elevation of play offensively. We've seen Darnold's passing yards fluctuate, but stay around that midpoint, 200-ish. Points or 200-ish yards, but this allowed our run game to get going. It also means that he's now completely au fait with what his weapons are and where they're going to be. We've still not used Shaheed as that over-the-top threat, just a complete burner. There's been, in my recollection, I think there's been one true sort of post route that he's made, you know, or a go route. And we underthrew him, I think. That's the only time he's got, you know, he's got his tight end room, which by all accounts has been fantastic. You've got Eric Sorbert, who will be a sore point for Sam. You've got AJ Barner, who's been absolutely fantastic. Our rookie, Elijah Arroyo, who is essentially a big X receiver, has come back now. And the wide receiving core with JSN, Cooper Kupp, you know, Jake Bobo is fantastic in blocking. the running core, even though it's depleted. Ken Walker will be leaning on a lot. George Halani's coming back. And then we're going to have Velas Jr. as well, who's going to be another third running back, but I doubt we'll see him. George Halani can do it all. I'm not concerned about Darnold now. Everyone has got this whole thing of he was seeing ghosts, and I said this on the last pod I was on with you. He was drafted to a dumpster fire. He played like hot garbage. Name a quarterback who's played well for the New York Jets in the last decade. You can't.
No.
You know, they even got old man Rogers in thinking he'd steady the ship, and he literally went, got on the field, and after what, three drives, went, oh, my ACL's done. Never mind, eh? Better than playing here. You know, he's then gone away. He's learned under different schemes. He's a leader of men now. The whole team gravitate towards him. And the whole thing of this team now is that their singular focus is not on personal accolades. It's about what the team can do. If Darnold's having a bad game, the defense is going to pick him up. If the defense are having a bad game, Darnold and the offense are going to pick them up. So I think it's less so a conversation about Darnold as a singular player. It's more so a conversation about the different units within this team. And holistically, this team is the most together team I've ever seen from the Seahawks. And that includes the Super Bowl winning team.
Wow. That is a statement, because the Seahawks team that won the Super Bowl, you think of the Legion of Boom, you know, Cam Chance.
Who else do you think about? Can you name the wide receiving core? Apart from Marshawn Lynch, can you name the other running backs? Can you name the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, was Doug Baldwin part of the team at that point?
Angry Doug was.
Yeah.
But this is what I mean. When you look at the Seahawks now, it's not just all the focus is not on Sam Darnold. It's JSN, who's going to be Offensive Player of the Year, hopefully. You know, you look at the O-line that people
talk about. I think there's someone who's going to...
I know. Yeah, I thought I'd drop a little incendiary in there. But, you know, you look at this team all over the place, and people have actually started taking note. So we had Rob Staton on our pod, who is BBC broadcaster, runs Seahawks draft blog, appears on sort of Seattle radio, is a very well-respected Seahawks analyst and podcaster. And Mitch, my co-host, posed the question to him, does he think that Mike McDonald's decision to take down all the Legion of Boom photos and artwork and memorabilia from the training facility to allow this defense to form their own identity and not have to live up to the past was a good idea? And Rob, who, like I said, he's very well respected, has said he's not thought about that before, but it's a fantastic point. Now, you look at this defense has called themselves the Dark Side. Now, I'll reserve my opinion on that nickname. However, it is pretty cool seeing a lot of people in Darth Vader costumes at Lumen. and the memes have been brilliant. But it's allowed them to shape their own identity. And because of that, we've got a whole new ethos around this team. So whereas people point fingers at players, I point fingers at units and groups within this team now. Because that's what it's about. It's the most cohesive team I've seen from the Seahawks. I mean, you look at that Super Bowl winning team. It was a good team led by a rookie QB. The rookie QB got paid, and then he got with a pop star. And what's happened to him now? You know, the reason the Legion of Boom broke up was because there was so much infighting there within the whole squad. And I don't think that's going to happen with the squad. So, sorry, I rambled on a bit there. I'm quite passionate about that point.
Well, yeah, you mentioned units, actually. There's obviously one guy that I think us as British NFL fans should be really looking at is Aidan Dird, a former London Warriors coach. Obviously, he's been around the league for a long time now. I didn't realise this until the other day. He actually played on the practice squad for the Chiefs and the Panthers.
Yeah.
But he's gone on and coached, and he's had a great story. The Cowboys is probably where he first made his name as a coach, and then obviously now he's being talked about as a head coach candidate for next season. I mean,
he's been groomed by the NFL to be an international head coach, mate. 100%. Yeah, I'll drop that nugget here now. That's happening.
It wouldn't shock me, I think, especially with, you know, you got James Cook at the Browns, the international player pathway ahead of that back in the day, the connections they have there. I wouldn't be shocked to see him potentially coaching the Browns next year. They haven't appointed a head coach yet. And I think
I wouldn't wish that on him. Good to go to the Browns. My dad's a Browns fan. I had to go to a Browns fan convention thing before they played in London, and they were lovely people. But you could just see the pain in their eyes. It's constant. It's like smiling faces, dead eyes. Like, that's we're Browns fans.
How cool is that though for you to see for your team a Brit doing so well and guiding a team to where you are now?
Well, he's the reason why DeMarcus Lawrence came to us. DeMarcus Lawrence outright said that if it wasn't for Aidan Durdee, I don't think he would have contemplated the Seahawks. No one does contemplate the Seahawks in the Pacific Northwest. When you've been in such a big market like Texas, moving up to the PMW is sort of might be seen as a bit of a downgrade to people. But he knew Aidan was there. Aidan had worked with him on a sort of pass rush specialist. And Aidan spoke glowing reviews about Mike McDonald and this organization now. And he went, that's the team for me. And you look at him now, he's an all-pro. Mm.
Yeah,
he's a pro bowler.
And he made an amazing play against the Niners. I can't think he kind of linked up with someone and forced a fumble from Brock Purdy. And I forget who the other guy was, but he's been amazing. And I think that's kind of, I think that battle between the trenches is going to be, you know, so key. And he's going to be obviously a big part of that. But
is that the Emon Wari fumble recovery?
Yes, yes. I couldn't think of the player that he did it. I've got my notes somewhere here where I talked
about. Don't worry. It's up here, mate.
I love seeing Deer doing well, and I think it'll be really cool to see a UK head coach with an actual UK accent coaching the NFL. You see some people all the time, they were born in London, but they sound American, they are American, mm-hmm. but an actual guy who grew up in the UK coaching as a head coach.
West Ham fan.
West Ham fan, is he? Wow. Yeah, I didn't realise that. That's maybe I think less.
That's a shame.
Everyone's got their crosses to bear. Some people are Rams fans, you know. So.
Some people are Browns fans.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, Sam, I feel like I've praised the Seahawks, not really praised the Rams much so far. I feel like I've talked about their weaknesses maybe more than their strengths, but kind of, you know, you got McVay there, who, you know, I feel personally is the best head coach in the league. And you know, you've done it before, because you've made the Super Bowl, you've won the Super Bowl, and the job you've done in terms of rebuilding the team has been amazing. You think about going from FM picks to within 2 years, you know, drafting guys in the fourth, fifth round that are, you know, helping you a long way towards making it. You think about Braden Frisk, Kobe Turner, Byron Young, and then of course Jared Fish he took in the first round. You know, Puka Nacua was a fourth, fifth round pick, maybe even a third round pick, but
fifth.
I think we're talking about the Seahawks, but actually the Rams, I think that the fifth seed is sort of pulling them a bit under the radar, because I think for me personally the Rams should be a second seed, because they've been that good. It's been unlucky to be in the division that they're in, and kind of the players they've got, you think about, I mentioned Nacua, then Kieran Williams, the defensive players I've just talked about. I mean, do you feel the Rams are being quite underestimated just because everyone's talking about, I think because of how close it was with the game against the Bears and how easy it was for the Seahawks and there's a difference in seeding. Do you feel like the Rams are going under the radar in this game?
I don't think they're necessarily going under the radar. I think it's just that it's, you know, a lot of what the media tend to do is they tend to focus on what's happened most recently. And the Seahawks blew up the 49ers. And it's an impressive thing to go into, you know, into the conference, the NFC conference game, or the NFC championship game, off of the back of that win, compared to the fact that we've had to go into overtime against the Bears. Like that, you know, and it only be a, you know, a 2017 game. But I think that the thing that I think everyone seems to forget about, and is, you know, yes, Stafford hasn't played well, but he's also put up ridiculous numbers this year. You know, Nacua is just he's a QB and head coach's dream, because, you know, the amount of times where he's, you know, we were, you know, 3rd and 9 or 3rd and even 11 or 10 or whatever, and you only have to throw it to him on the, you know, 6 yards away, and he'll make up those other 4 or 5 yards because that's who he is as a person. And, you know, he's so physical. His ability to block on the edge, you know, and I think it's just the problem is we've looked so disjointed over the last few games and things. You know, we've had a brilliant opening drive, 2 and a bit quarters of just crap, really, and then a great final drive. But we've kept ourselves in games, and I think that's the essence to passing through the playoffs. Is you don't, you know, it's great to be in great form and to beat teams and to blow them out of the water. But I think sometimes, you know, being able to stay in games when you're playing crap and to go on to win those games, I think is a sign of a winning team. And I think, you know, for the past few years, well, I mean, I've said on our pods, on sort of pods that we've done before, Andy, about, you know, the one thing that we've needed to focus on is building a secondary, because our secondary is special teams, our secondary is probably the weakest part of our team. But it still puts up, you know, we're still getting interceptions, we're still making plays, we're still, you know, coming up and doing what we need to do when the time is required. And I think that we just kind of, there seems to be this sort of never say die attitude with this Rams team. And I think that they, like, as long as they are in games, you can never write them off from winning a game. And I think, especially when, like you said, with Stafford, who, you know, he only needs one drive to get the lead and, you know, and win a game. And I think that it's just about, you know, causing problems and keeping ourselves in the game will keep us where we are. And I said, it's going to take a lot of effort. You know, it's going to be the hardest game we're going to have to play this year. And I mean, we've already said it. It's one of these two teams, I think, is the favorite to win the Super Bowl, whoever wins. I just think that probably the big difference this year is we've done it very recently. Matt Stafford has won this game very recently. Sean McVay has won this game very recently. You know, Devontae Adams has won huge games in recent years, and probably not so recent, but has won games fairly recently. And I just think that sometimes those little things can play a big part. And, you know, I don't expect, you know, obviously I've talked about the fact that probably I still think that if the Seahawks have to put the game on Sam Darnold's shoulders, I'm not sure how he'll deal with the pressure, as well as just because, you know, yes, he is getting better, and yes, he's not making, you know, those big mistakes or forcing it as much. But the thing that I think will still be worrying him in the back of his mind, and it may not, you know, is that he does make mistakes against the Rams. And I think that in such a high-pressured game like an NFC Championship, doubt could, if he throws a few bad passes or throws an interception within the first quarter, I think that can cause mentally some indecisiveness that could potentially switch out a game. But like I say, I think it's as long as, like I say, with the Seahawks, they don't need to rely on singular players. They can rely on the defense stepping up, or the running game getting involved, or the special teams having a big play. And I think the problem is that if the pressure, because again, a lot of these players haven't been in a playoff game or too many playoff games, maybe one or two. You know, there's probably a couple that have probably played a few more, but I think that sometimes situations like that can get the better of some players if they make a silly mistake or they don't, you know, miscommunications and stuff like that can happen. And I'll be hoping it happens because I think the biggest thing that will happen in this game is it'll come down to who makes the fewest mistakes. And I think I would trust Stafford not to make mistakes, but he can make them. We've seen him do it this year. I think it's just a case of, you know, as long as if we can stay in the game, we'll be fine. It's just if we don't start well, like we have in other games, and then kind of coasted a bit, and then because we're still in it, won the game. That's where I think the problems could lie, because, you know, I don't think McVay, obviously we've talked about Stafford and we've talked about that. I don't think McVay has played his best games in the last few. I don't think his play calling has been nearly as good as we've seen him earlier in the season. And I think he needs to work that out, and Stafford needs to work. I think that doesn't help Stafford. But like I say, we've been here before, you know, four years ago, whatever it was, time flies. But we've been here twice in the past at least sort of 7 years. So it's not like we can't do it. We've done it against divisional teams before. And I just think that, you know, there is something that needs to be said about the fact of having experience of doing it in big games.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned then about the ability to make third down stops, fourth down stops. I was really impressed with there's a couple of plays in one drive where you had Omar Spate had a third down stop, and then it was Nate Ladman had a fourth down stop, and then you had late on in the game you had another situation where again Omar Spate had the fourth down stop, and Quentin Lake had the third down stop in the fourth quarter. So you kind of have got this defensive line that I think that, you know, can make the necessary stops, and, you know, with the ever-growing nature of teams going foot on fourth down, you've shown in these games, you know, that particularly that game against the Bears, that you can make the important stops. And, you know, if the Bears had gone for the field goal, you know, they would have won the game in normal time, in regular time. So I think the fact that they've gone out and made the stops in fourth down, third down territory, which ultimately in the end had a big part in winning the game, I think you've got some players out that could really make a difference. If it was to get to the point where the Seahawks, who went for it on fourth down, went for 2-point conversion in the last game you played, they can be aggressive on offense at times. You've got personnel that can stop that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think Omar Spates has been a bit of a unsung hero this year. I think, you know, he's really sort of stepped into that role this year and sort of taken it by the scruff of the neck in a way. Nate Landman's been, you know, unbelievable this year. And given the fact that he was a Falcons throwaway, it's surprising how well he's turned that around. But I mean, yeah, I think obviously we got Colby Parkinson from the Seahawks, and, you know, I remember messaging a couple of my Seahawks friends and saying, you know, what's Colby Parkinson been like? And it's like, he's a great blocker. He's a crap catcher. And to be honest,
no, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, that's what they sort of said.
He should have been a red zone threat. He's what, 6'9", and he's actually got decent hands.
Yeah,
never used him. He was pure as a blocking tight end. And all I remember screaming on our pod and the previous pod I was on was, why aren't we using him in the red zone? Like, he's proved, obviously now he's with you guys, that he is a threat when you give him the ball.
Yeah,
safe pair of hands, and the fact that he can block and then shed to then come out onto a flat to make you an extra 5 to 7 yards, he can fall forward 7 yards.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, look at that touchdown he scored against the winning touchdown against the Panthers. I mean, I'm pretty sure he caught that on the 5-yard line and just bullied his way into the end zone. So yeah, I mean, When I first heard about Colby Parkinson, it was just, he's a great blocker. There was no, you know, there was very little about his ability to be a catcher. So I thought, okay, we're going to have to rely on Higbee. Higbee goes down, and he just steps up and just does that role like as if it was nothing, like as if it was that's who his game was. And I think it's so important for us to have players that can extend drives, because we don't have a lot of pace. You know, Tutu Atwell hasn't been, he's been injured a lot. You know, Davante Adams isn't the pacey player that he used to be. He has lost a lot, a yard. Puka's not quick, but the thing that they have is they all have this insane physicality to just make, like, the yards after catch for a lot of them is just crazy, because it's the ability to fight through tackles and push drives forward. And I think that, you know, against a very physical Seahawks team, we're going to need players like Puka to do that, because, you know, the likes of Emmanuel Wari, the likes of, you know, Lawrence and Ernest Jones, who obviously you got from Titans through us. You know, they're very physical, strong linebackers, and you know, that's where we need to be able to extend drives. You know, I don't think that, you know, we've seen it a lot this season. I've said it a lot this season. We're not the sort of team to target like cornerbacks, and the Seahawks are not a team to target cornerbacks, because, you know, I've said for a long while,
Witherspoon
and Woolen are just next level corners. And I think you see that in the way that we've played in the last few games. We've not targeted those two guys. We've targeted the space behind, you know, Jones and that. And I think that's where we've kind of been more successful. And I'd quite like to see us stick to that, because that's where we can potentially win the game. But yeah, I think it's the one thing that I will say, I think it's just going to be a really fun, enjoyable game. Not for us, but I think for anyone else watching, I think for us it's going to be a bit of a nightmare. But especially as a Rams fan, I'm pretty sure I've aged about 20 years in this playoff run, because we just don't know how to keep ourselves out of trouble. But you know, it'll be a fun game, and you know, obviously, as much as I would love to be at the Super Bowl, I think if we don't, you know, because I've got so many close friends who are Seahawks fans, you know, I'd rather see them, you know, lift it than, to be honest, than the Patriots or the Broncos. So, you know, which is
the majority of my local friends are Pats fans. So, yeah. If it's us versus them,
yeah.
I'm not watching it locally. I'm off to watch it with the UK Seahawks in Birmingham. But whether we make it or not, I'm still going to go and watch it. But yeah, I couldn't face watching the Patriots lift another one.
No. I don't think anyone could, to be honest.
It's so annoying that Bo Nix went down, because the game now, pretty much, I think we did talk about it, and I, spoiler alert, I did have the Patriots winning the game, and I think I'd be shocked if didn't pull it out of the bag. I'm hoping
backup QBs, the Patriots, kryptonite, aren't they? Supposedly, because every backup QB's got the same magic.
I can't see that. Oh, Nick Foles, of course. He had Nick Foles. Yeah. Who else have you had against the Patriots? Backup quarterback.
Well, they did a comparison with the year that was it the year that the Patriots won it, where they compared the quarterback lineups. So obviously Matt Stafford is Tom Brady, the equivalent. You've got Nick Foles is like Jared Stidham, and then there was the, I can't remember who the other two were, but that was there was like a very, very close comparison between the others as well. I think obviously one of them was, you know, had been underdog in a number of years and then has come through and found a team that he actually suits, which obviously would be
Darnold. Do you want a nice tidbit of a trivia of the pod? So Bo Nix was Jared Stidham's high school recruit at Auburn.
I heard that.
Really?
Yeah, so when Stidham, I think he was a sophomore in Auburn. Stidham was a sophomore, and then Bo Nix came in as a high school recruit for a visit.
Wow.
He joined and then transferred out, and now the tables have turned where Bo Nix is starting and Stidham is his backup. I love that. That just goes to show that regardless of who you think you are in college, when you get to the league, you're not that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that should be a good game, and.
Yeah,
I think Patriots will probably win. You know, if Bo Nix were there, it would be a different game. The only thing that maybe will help them is if their defense can maybe make a few plays. But yeah,
don't underestimate Peyton as a coach as well.
Yeah,
you've got Peyton versus Brable. Peyton's been doing this a lot longer with a lot more success. So that I'd look at it that way.
I mean, exactly something we talked about in the show, in the AFC show with Shane Brennan, was the fact that Sean Payton, I think, you know, has much more of a longer coaching CV. And I think that, you know, I think the fact he made Russell Wilson, you know, looks somewhat confident after a difficult first year in Denver. Even Taysom Hill went 5-0 under Sean Payton when they had Drew Brees injured for the first five games. So, yeah, I think I don't think they will, but I would love it though. And I think even, you know, taking away the Dolphins bias and all this, if you're neutral as a team who hasn't won it since 2019 and one who hasn't won it since 2015, that's who you're going to go for. And Patriots have won it 6 times, you know, all of them being in this century, where the Broncos only have only won once in century. So I think, you know, I think as well, the story you get of a backup quarterback winning this game would be amazing. And I think that would be...
What a fairy tale.
Yeah, all on the flip side, for you as a Seahawks fan, Josh, if you were to win this game and play the Patriots and you win that game, that is the revenge for the Malcolm Butler interception. So it kind of, as long as you win, it's quite a nice thing for you either way.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'm just looking forward to this game. I said before the 49ers game, I was a bit apprehensive playing the 49ers or playing anyone in our division apart from the Cardinals. gives me sort of the heebie-jeebies. The 49ers were, they weren't at the races. Injuries or not, a good coaching staff should be able to overcome them, but it was more the players that were on the field that couldn't. Now the Rams are a different kettle of fish, because the reason that we have got a coach like Mike McDonald is to become the Sean McVay killer. And, you know, Pook has gone for 300 yards on the Seahawks over the course of this season. So I'm hoping that we do something to combat that. Like, by way of rushing, I mean, we haven't allowed a rusher to go for, or a team to go for over 100 yards of rushing in the last 14, 15 games, maybe more. So that's not something I'm worried about. I know Kyren Williams is a, you know, he's a decent running back, and Blake Corum, I really enjoyed coming out of Michigan. But I don't, that's not my main issue. My main issue is going to be, much like Sam said, if Darnold has this brain fart against the Rams and starts throwing picks and silly throws, that is going to be an issue for me. And also allowing the wide receivers or the tight ends to use the middle of the field against us, which is what the Rams have always done typically. That's been our kryptonite every single time. And that's the one thing I don't want. I don't want Devontae Adams to be the route technician that he is. I don't want Puka to be able to use these quick steps and slants to then get into space in the middle of the field and then just keep going, because he gallops and he picks up speed. And then you've got Colby Parkinson there as well, who is taller than basically any player we have on our pitch, apart from the fact that Nick Emmanuel can jump higher than him. So that's one of the reasons why we kind of got him as well. But it's going to be a good game regardless. I think that they're very well-matched teams, and I think the difference is going to be, as Sam said, and I completely echo, who plays the cleaner game, who has the fundamentals down.
And I mean, the weirdest thing for us is that up until the playoffs, we've had the fewest penalties against us. And then I'm pretty sure in the playoffs we have the most, because we've just made, again, stupid mistakes and silly things where, you know, we wouldn't normally do, like, you know, but, you know, I'm hoping that, I just want it to be a good game. I think, you know, it's probably going to be close. I'd rather it be like our second game than our first game, because I think our first game was just, although it was a good game, it was riddled with mistakes. And I think the second game, there was less mistakes, but it was more about two teams that were showing off who they were. So I would quite like to see a game like the second one, but I imagine it's probably going to be more like the first, where it's going to be cagey and a struggle and just two defenses kind of putting on a show. Yeah.
Well, let's head on to our predictions. It's time to predict who we think will win this game on Sunday, which is, for those who are watching the games on Sunday, it's the second of the two games. Now, Josh, as the home team,
started with me last time. I swear you did. This one, I predicted 31-13 just to annoy Paul. I should have predicted high from the City Hawks. I'm not going to predict that high in this game. I foresee it being slightly closer. I think it may come down to JMI having to slot a couple of field goals. So I'm going to go for, where are we? 20, I'm just going to do some mental maths now. 23-17.
Okay. Sam, over to you. Who do you think are going to win this game?
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to back my team to win this. So I think, like I say, it's going to be tight. I think it'll be, I mean, this, I think the spread at the moment, from what I remember looking at, was -2.5 Seahawks favourites. I think it'll be, just because inevitably that this is how it's kind of gone, it's probably going to be a 2-point game. You know, our last couple of games have either been 2-point and 1-point. I think it's going to be another 2-point game. I'm going to go 27-25 to the Rams. Mavis Walkoff.
That sounds great. That sounds a really good game. You know what? I found this. We've done predictions for all the wild card round, all the division round, and now these two conference championships. I found this one the hardest to predict out of the whole playoffs. I think the only one I had closer than this was probably Niners-Eagles in the wild card round. I've been tiptoeing back and forth the entire day, even this episode. You both give me some great points and great reasons why both teams can win. Even though I think the better team on paper is the Seahawks, I think the Rams do it. I said the Rams...
Because the last episode, you said it was going to be the 49ers. So basically, everyone that you say is going to win loses. So stick with that. And then we'll revisit this next week.
You know, I've had an absolute stinker this whole playoffs and the predictions. I had the Rams winning both their games. I predicted the Rams to win against the Panthers and against the Bears. But I had the Packers beating the Bears. I had the Eagles beating the Niners. The Niners beating the Seahawks in the process. I had the Texans beating the Patriots. I think literally the only ones I've had right have been... I've only had the Rams games right.
The Rams games. The Rams games are the only ones he's got right.
Patriots against Chargers. There's not many else, to be honest. I've had an absolute stinker this round. I mean, and even last year, I had the Eagles losing to the Rams in the wild card round. Like, there's something about the Rams I'm always drawn to. I don't know. But I've said the Rams since about, I want to say week 6 now. I was going to go for them during my whole summer. I remember I went to a friend's birthday party. His friend was into the NFL. And I said, back in July, I thought the Rams are going to win the NFC. But then that Matt Stafford back injury concern put me off predicting all the actual predictions episode. But I've had the Rams since about week 5. So I think I'm going to stick with them for that reason as well. But I don't know. I think the Sam Darnold track, I know I want the Seahawks. I'm not going to lie. I want the Seahawks to win. I do. I want Darnold to win. I want the story of him overcoming what he's been through in his career. I really want the Seahawks to win. And also, I enjoyed my time in Seattle more than LA. So there's that as well. But
people do, to be fair.
Yeah, LA is not my favourite place in the world. But
they don't get a lot of lanky ginger men in LA. That's why, mate.
Ginger? Don't say that. Oh, you mean you?
It's the Welsh blood, mate. That's right. The Celtic blood.
Oh, it's a score, I know. I think the Rams win. Like Sam, walk off field goal. But I'm going to go for 17-14. I think it's going to be a low scoring. I think it's going to be a defensive shootout. I can see both Stafford and Darnold having off days, but I think it'll be down to which one of Smith and Jigba and Nakua have the most yards after catch and just whose defense shows up more on a day. And I think the Rams might just nick it. They've been on the road every game so far, and I think they have that spirit in them that I think they could cause a surprise in Lumen Field. But that is where we will end the show for today. So first of all, Sam, Josh, thank you so much for coming on today.
Very welcome.
Thank you for the invite.
Well, I'll be seeing one of you in the next episode. But who that is, we will find out on Sunday, or for us Brits, Monday morning. But this has been the Across the Pod NFL podcast with our guest, with myself, your host, as ever, Andy Davis, and our guest today in Josh Edwards from 12 Talk. Do give that podcast a follow if you are a Seahawks fan. And also Sam Andrews, our Rams fan, who's also part of the Hurdle the Line and College Football podcast with a good friend of the show, Aaron Fletcher, or Fletch. And we'll see you guys for our next episode. See you then. Take care.